Welcome to A Slob Comes Clean, the podcast. I am Dana K. White. I share my personal deslobification process. As I figure out ways to keep my own home under control, I share the truth about cleaning and organizing strategies that actually work in real life for real people, people who don't love cleaning and organizing. Thanks for joining me today. This is podcast number 414, and I think I'm going to call it What Makes Clutter Invisible. So when I first started doing what I do, in case you're new here and you didn't know this, some of y'all are like, oh my word, how many times are you gonna tell the story? But just for a little background, I started writing, blogging about getting my house under control, doing what I thought was just an experiment because I wanted to write, but I didn't feel like I could start writing a big project because my house was a total disaster and I know how I am. I know that when I jump into a new project of something that's fun and exciting, it just made my house even that much worse, right? And my house had always been a struggle for me. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to write about that for a little while, get my house under control, be able to learn about blogging. In the meantime, you know, I'll get everything perfect. A couple months, what, right? And then I'll be able to write about the things I actually felt qualified to write about. Well, it is now almost 15 years later. What in the world? And I still write about this for all the different reasons that I won't go into today. But the reason that I bring that up is that as I was writing, what I was doing is I would work on my house and then I would write what I was doing. It was anonymous, just to be clear, because it was my shameful secret. But I would write about what I was doing. I would write about what I realized or noticed or, you know, uncovered or whatever. I was just writing about it. You can go actually to the blog, and I think it's under Get Started, where you can actually read from the beginning. There's always people reading from the beginning of the blog because for a lot of people, it helps them to see what I did, but also like the thoughts that I had and the resistances that I had, and also to see the real-time actual improvement as opposed to just the whoosh whoosh between before and after pictures, right? But as I did this, I started using the term slob vision, because I would find myself again and again, like surprised to find something or to see something or to realize something that I was like, how had I not been seeing this? Like, it just made me realize how many times when I tackled something in my home, I had stopped seeing it at some point. I didn't see the mess happening. So one of the things I always explain is that I don't see incremental mess. I see perfectly clean and I go, oh, this looks amazing. And then I see overwhelmingly messy. Oh my word, this is so overwhelming. I don't think I can do this. I'm stuck. I don't even know how to get started. So I can see those two things, but the little by little building that takes it from perfectly wonderful to, oh my word, what in the world has happened again? That in between, that incremental mess, that growing mess, I don't see that. Right. And what I realized as I was working on my house was that the way I was making progress was to come up with strategies that helped combat my slob vision. Okay. And when I say slob vision, what I meant was, you know, like I can appreciate someone's organized home. And I can appreciate my own home when I've gotten it ready for a party. I'm like, yes, this is what I want. But it felt like I barely blinked and it was back to, or my home was in this really disastrous state. And I was like, what is happening? Like, why don't I notice that I laid something down on the countertop and then I laid another thing and another thing and another thing? Why am I not noticing that? Why is it that I can absolutely go to bed at night with dishes in the sink? And other people are like, oh, I can't do that. Like visually, I just can't do that, right? And I would think, I wish I was like that, you know, and I don't know that they ever say they would wish that they would be like me, but they might. Sometimes I have had friends who are like, I wish I could just let things go. And I'm like, I wish I even noticed that things had been let go for a very long time, right? So it's that noticing, and what I was doing as I was making progress was coming up with ways that combated my natural tendency to not notice the in-between between perfectly clean and overwhelmingly messy, right?
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
So, a couple of things. You know, one of the things is some people call this clutter blindness. I'm not sure who came up with that term. I've always called it slob vision. I have an example video. I think it's still on YouTube from years ago. It was actually, I think it was the first video I ever made. And I was cleaning out a kitchen drawer, was not using my no mess process because I hadn't come up with that yet. And there was a kitchen cabinet that was open and like that I had put a few things in. And I had just left the camera recording. And then I was like, oh, I'll go back and do the editing. So I just recorded the whole project. And as I was editing it, I realized that to get around this cabinet door being open, I had to move my entire body around it. Like I had to, because of the way things were set up, like I guess I had maybe the box that I was putting things in because I didn't yet know the no mess process because I hadn't come up with it, you know, but that was in the way. And so I was having to, like, you know, do these weird things with my body and move around it to keep from hitting my head. And I was doing it and you could see in the video that it was completely subconscious. Like I was not aware that I was avoiding this door, that I was having to avoid this door. I was not aware that it was making everything harder for me to have to move in and out. So at some random point, I closed the cabinet door. But it wasn't because I hit my head. It wasn't because I went, oh, there's a cabinet door open. No, it just was random, right? It was not intentional. And so I loved showing that video to my husband. I was like, look, I do not intentionally leave cabinets door. I don't cut cabinet doors open. I don't see it. I don't notice that they are open until all of a sudden they're all open and I go, ah, right? So that's kind of what I'm talking about today is what makes clutter invisible. Because I don't like clutter being invisible for me. It's not a good thing because, like I said, I can notice the perfectly clean and I can notice the overwhelmingly messy. So what I'm saying is by the time I notice anything, it's at the overwhelmingly messy stage. That's when I see things if I'm not putting my strategies into place to keep that from happening, right? If I'm just left to my own devices and not paying any attention to how to prevent this from happening, then by the time I notice, it is overwhelming. And at that point, I'm stuck. And I, you know, now I know what to do. But for years, I did not know what to do, right? Like, it was like, what? Now it's this humongous project. I don't have time for that. I would put it off and I would think, oh, when am I ever going to get this done? It's just going to be one. So all of those things contributed to this bad, bad cycle, right? So I want to talk about how does that happen? Because as I have decluttered massive amounts of stuff from my home, as I have worked on keeping my home under control, I have seen what it is that's been happening that I was unaware of happening because it was subconscious, all right? And to be clear, and this is where, you know, in helping people, and one of the questions I get all the time, this is where it's one of those subjects that's hard to talk about, but I have to, and that is my slob vision is generally over my own stuff. It's my stuff that I'm not seeing. I can usually see other people's stuff. I see other people's piles, even though I may have three other piles right next to their one pile. I don't have slob vision for their pile. Oh, I see their pile. My kids' stuff, my husband's stuff. I see other people's things, and that is one of the things I've realized is very normal. Not a good thing, not normal in a good way, but like this is reality. It is very easy to see and easily identify other people's clutter, even when I have more clutter than that myself. And so acknowledging that I have slob vision toward my own stuff is important in those moments where I see someone else's stuff and it drives me crazy. And I think, oh, you know, and it causes a wedge in our relationship. It causes a frustration in my relationship with them for me to then say, wait, Dana, I know I suffer from slob vision. It is a real thing. Clutter becomes invisible to me. My own clutter becomes invisible to me. I need to stop and shake my head and go, do I have my own clutter to deal with? Because I generally do. Okay. And it is highly offensive to other people for me to point out their clutter that is so glaringly obvious to me that I can't imagine it's not obvious to them. It's highly offensive for me to point out their clutter when I have my own clutter. And that is the reason that I always, always, always teach, deal with your own clutter first. Declutter your stuff and neutral stuff, not stuff you wish was neutral, but actually neutral stuff. Declutter your stuff and neutral stuff first. Partly because that's going to improve your house. It just is. Like anything gone improves your house, right? Partly because at some point, many times, not always, can't guarantee it, but many times other people in your house start to realize, oh, the house is nicer, easier to manage, easier to live in. I enjoy it more here with less stuff. And then that changes their feelings toward their stuff. But also declutter your stuff first so that you're dealing with your own slob vision before you try to point out theirs. I mean, come on. It's the whole, you know, pointing out the speck in your neighbor's eye when you got a log in your own eye. I mean, that's basically talking about a lot of different situations, but clutter is one of them. Like, it is very normal and easy to see other people's problems without seeing your own. Okay. So, like I said, the way that I learned these things, the way that I identified them was through decluttering and through coming up with these strategies. So the cure for slob vision or clutter blindness, whatever you want to call it, is decluttering. I was not used to uncluttered spaces. I liked them when I saw them, right? But I had become so used to a cluttered space that I didn't notice it was cluttered. But once I decluttered and I had clear surfaces, not completely clear, but clear surfaces, closets that were easy to get into, closets where I could see my clothes and access my clothes, it started to clear my slob vision issues. It started to help me be able to identify clutter and see clutter issues because I started to adjust to having clear, clutter-free, uncluttered spaces. And as I adjusted to that and began to really like that, then the cluttered spaces started to register in my brain at a sooner point than they used to, where they used to, you know, I only noticed it when it was completely overwhelming, right? Also, to be clear, the cure is the 5-minute pickup. You know, decluttering, I get that it can be easy to be like, oh, decluttering, I've got to declutter. Oh my goodness. Okay. It's going to be, I got to declutter. Okay. I got to gear myself up. I got to, which we all know, right? If you're following the no mess process, which you can get a copy of those 5 steps at aslobcomesclean.com/5, right? So, but decluttering can be, you know, we know it doesn't have to be overwhelming. That's the whole point of my process, right? But it can feel like, okay, decluttering is this big job. The 5-minute pickup is a literal 5-minute pickup, whether your house is at hoarder level or at, you know, just a tiny bit things out of place level. Like, a 5-minute pickup is always worth it no matter the situation that you are in, that your house is in. So a 5-minute pickup is key. What does that do? Well, it either gets things back to being under control. I mean, that's the goal of being under your clutter threshold, is that you can have it back under control in 5 minutes. Or it moves you forward 5 minutes by taking 5 minutes to throw away trash and take some easy things back to their home or whatever, if you're at a state where it's, you know, really very, very cluttered. But that process of going through the 5-minute pickup, every time you do a 5-minute pickup, if your house is in a pretty decent situation, you are continually getting it back to being the actual visual that you want so that you start to become used to that visual. So that the under control, the things put away visual starts to be what's normal in your vision and in your mind. Okay. Where before, if your house is a constant cluttered mess, that's what's normal. And you're having to imagine what it would look like. And then it feels like that's too daunting. And I've never actually seen it look like that in the last however many years. And, or maybe it never has because we moved in and I just kind of set things everywhere, whatever. I mean, like all of these things, the 5-minute pickup helps me adjust. And it's a daily thing. And it also helps me start to see what is continually randomly laid down, which then I am so much more likely to not just randomly lay it down when I have that thing in my hand and it's time for it to leave my hand, right? Because of all the times when during a 5-minute pickup, I've had to deal with that, it just increases the chances that I'm not going to be, creating this incremental mess that I've been talking about, right?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I am so excited about my new digital picture frame from Aura. It is beautiful and it solves clutter problems. One frame that rotates, so it lets me display lots of photos. There's a new photo every 10 minutes. I am seriously delighted every time I walk by my beautiful Aura frame. Mom, I hope you're not listening because you are also getting an Aura frame for Mother's Day. I am going to customize the gift by preloading photos onto the frame. There's a super simple app that I can share with the whole family so they can add photos to my mom's frame too, anytime from wherever they are around the globe. I used the Aura app and I had everything set up for my frame in 2 minutes. You can upload an unlimited number of photos, invite others to share photos directly to your frame with no fees or memberships. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code CLEAN at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, but what are some of the things that make clutter invisible? Let's talk about that. And to be clear, again, these are subconscious thoughts. These are things that I have realized over time. So I don't, if you are listening to this because your hope is to learn enough to be able to cure and change the people that you're living with, I just want to be clear here that these were not conscious decisions that I made. So when I explain this, my goal is to help the person who is trying to help themselves, not for you to be like, oh, that's what they're thinking. They're probably not actually consciously thinking this. These were not things I consciously thought and decided to have this mess happen. This mess happened and I've realized over time, oh, I think that's what happened. Okay. So I just want to be clear. These are subconscious thoughts. I don't want you to, use them against anyone, right? Because they're not making these conscious decisions, right? Okay. So the first one, and I think this is a big, big, big one for people like me. It's that there's a story behind the clutter. One of my decluttering strategies that I talk about in Organizing for the Rest of Us and other places too, but one of the strategies is to finish the project and call it decluttering. People who struggle with clutter tend to be project people. tend to be very interesting and creative. One of my coaches just recently was like, oh my goodness, Dana's not kidding when she says that, you know, the people who follow her are highly intelligent and creative and interesting, you know, because she's finding that out with her clients that she's, you know, helping out. There's a story behind the clutter. Maybe we started on a project and we made a conscious decision that it was more logical to leave those things laid out so that we could come back to it. Maybe it's that I can remember when my kids were little, you know, they would be playing some really, really fun, imaginative thing, and they would have, you know, forts made or, you know, all these different things laid out that in their minds were whatever. And I'm like, oh yeah, like it didn't bother me when they did that because I was like, there's a story behind this. Something's happening here. This is the middle of a project. There is a reason why this thing is here. Oh, we came, you know, it snowed and we came inside and everybody took off their snow clothes. I don't know if that's what y'all do in the North. Y'all probably have an actual like setup for that. That's probably what a mudroom is supposed to be. But like we did that. And so there's a reason why there's this big pile of snow stuff at the front door. And so in the moment, it's like, oh, well, you know, it's logical. Of course, there's a reason. There's a reason why this is here. But the problem is that even though there was a reason in the moment, and when we were looking at just that stuff, we saw the reason why it's there, stuff attracts stuff, right? And so after that stuff has lived there for a while, then it starts to, other things get added to it because it's like, well, this is a pile I'm going to have to deal with anyway. You know, like I no longer am in the moment where I'm fully aware of, you know, or feeling the high of the fun that we had out there playing in the snow. And now those things are there and they represent, they have a story. They represent the fun that we just had. Okay. But now that fun is gone. I'm not thinking about what that story is, but there was a story and whatever, you know, there's some logical reason why that was there, but other things get added to it because then it becomes an issue of, well, I'm going to have to deal with that pile eventually anyway, right? Like now that's turned into its own project to deal with that pile. So what's the point of dealing with this one item where I maybe have to step over the pile to even deal with it versus just adding it to the pile that I'm going to have to deal with anyway, right? Like what's one more thing? But then that becomes a one more thing. And then that becomes a one more thing. And that becomes a one more thing. And now all of a sudden we have a pile of stuff that I have no memory of how that pile started. It was a story in the beginning, but then things got added to it and I don't remember the story anymore. I'm probably going to remember the story as I declutter it, but now it's at that overwhelming phase because it's like, that's a pile. And those snow clothes make it look like a humongous pile, where in reality, it's probably a load or two of laundry, right? So that growth that happens of the pile, it starts with a story and then other things get attracted to it, okay? Another subconscious thought is the obsession with efficiency and the logic of the moment, okay? So the other day, what was I doing? I don't know. The weather has turned warmer now. It's April as I'm recording this. And I don't know. I guess I was putting up a coat. I don't remember. I guess it was a coat. Anyway, so I go, oh, I know it was. I was cleaning out my stockroom, right? And I talked about that last week. Cleaned that out, found this coat, and went to go hang it up in our coat closet that's under the stairs. Y'all, I love having a closet under the stairs. It's not what I always imagined it would be, but I still love it because that was one of the things I always wanted, was a closet under the stairs. Anyway, but I went to go hang it up and I was in a hurry, or I don't remember why, but I was in a hurry somehow. And it felt like the most, and I'm laughing a little bit when I say it, because looking back, I go, what, Dana? What in the world? Like, why would you think that was more efficient? And yet, I don't ask the question why, right? Which is a good thing. But also, it was super logical to me in the moment. I was like, no, I'm in a hurry. I'm just going to do the most efficient thing in my mind. This is what I'm thinking subconsciously. And I'm going to, I don't see a hanger in there. I'm just going to kind of like shove it up over the curtain rod. Yes. That is what I started to do. I think I even tried to kind of toss it up there and it didn't really go. And I went, and I had this moment. I went, wait a minute, what am I doing? If I do that, that is the start of this closet being a disaster, of this closet being a disaster. That is the start of this. That is slob vision. It's that moment of this is more efficient. I don't have time to do that right now. I don't have time to find a hanger. But as soon as I stopped myself and went, no, this is the start of a disaster, then I looked and there was a hanger on the floor. And I used a hanger. And was I annoyed the whole entire time that I was putting it back on the hanger? Yes, I was absolutely annoyed with that. Super duper annoyed. And yet I did it and it took all of probably 4 or 5 seconds. And once it was hung up, I had a feeling of relief because I knew that I was not starting another cycle of things piling, getting out of control, because you know it's going to fall. And then that's going to be on the floor. And then it's going to be like, oh, well, there's stuff already on the floor. I'm going to have to clean out the floor anyway. I might as well just shove it in there. Okay. So it just turns into this cycle. But because of the work I've done decluttering, because of the power of the 5-minute pickup and having done that consistently and having dealt with stuff, dealt with the results of these types of subconscious decisions before, because of that, I can recognize it as the beginning of heading down toward disaster status. This is the incremental mess. This is the problem, right? And so that obsession with efficiency is something I have to be super careful about. You know, take it there now is the key to my decluttering process. It's making a decision and acting on that decision item by item instead of piling things up for the future. And it's very, very, very difficult for the person who is obsessed with efficiency, like me, to understand how that's going to work. The only way to truly understand it is just to go ahead and do it. Just experimentally try the take it there now and say, this is probably not going to work, but she says it'll work, and do it. Everybody who emails me and says, I didn't want to try take it there now. I thought there was no way it could work for me because of this. I would get distracted. I would blah, 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 whatever. I have exhaustion issues, whatever. Like it would never work for me because of all these different things. But then I tried it with 3 things and I went, this is it. That is way more efficient for it to be done over with. I don't have to think about it anymore. Whew. Okay. So as we do that, as we're thinking along those lines, it starts to change my understanding of actual efficiency. It helps me see the power of things being done and over and not weighing on my visual pile list of things that I need to deal with. And now it's become overwhelming to me. Okay. Keeps it from getting to the overwhelming point. But because of all the decluttering I've done, because of all the 5-minute pickups that I've done, I have seen over and over and over the individual items that turn into a pile, that are going to turn into a pile. So I can predict this will turn into a pile, right? Big decisions at the bottom of the pile, whether they're real or imagined, equal me feeling overwhelmed and unable to start, right? Like if I feel like there are going to be, oh wow, that pile's been there a long time. Who knows what's ended up there? I betcha there's some really big decisions to be made. Knowing that if I will make this small decision, if I will do this small act now, then it's not going to balloon up into either a real big decision or usually an imaginary big decision at the bottom of a pile in the future, motivates me to go ahead and do the small thing right now. Okay.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Okay, one more thing I want to talk about, and this is kind of along the lines of what I talked about last week, with the stock room, right? And I talked about the feeling I felt in my actual body when I had forgotten that I had cleaned it out and I opened it up and I went, oh, I can actually walk straight across the room to get the toothpaste that I need. I do not have to angle. I do not have to turn sideways. Y'all know that I Love Lucy, right? Where they do all that. Anyway, I think they were moving. But I don't have to do any of that, and how nice that was. Okay. So a lot of this subconscious slob vision, blah, 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 is that it's muscle memory, right? Like muscle memory is a very, very real thing. Okay. Have y'all ever read Liam Moriarty's books? I think she wrote a book called, I know there was one by someone else that was about somebody with early onset Alzheimer's, but this one was someone who had amnesia. What was it called? What Alice Forgot, maybe? Anyway, and it was so fascinating. And I mean, it's a fiction book, but I assume she did the research. So I'm going to, you know, be like, wow, this is really cool. But she has amnesia. And so she's going through all of, you know, these different life things, and she wants to check her email. And she's like, she has no recollection of what her email password was. And so she just sits down and puts her fingers on the keyboard, and her fingers typed out the password. Like I said, it's fiction, but isn't that the coolest story? Like her fingers remembered the password, even though her brain did not. So we're going to all assume that Leanne, who's like, I just love her books anyway, is one of the, you know, that she did all the research and that's really true, right? Like I can see it though, because muscle memory is a real thing, muscle memory. When I was a theater arts teacher and, you know, have directed plays and stuff, like one of the things I remember learning in my own training was the power of muscle memory for memorizing your lines, right? Like it is really powerful to not just try to sit there in a chair with, with a page full of lines and memorize them, but instead do the blocking, which is where you move and when, and go through the blocking as you're doing the lines. And then the movement of your body brings the line out of your mouth, brings the line to mind. Like there is just so much more that we don't even realize we're being affected by muscle memory. Okay. And so, you know, so sometimes that can be part of it. Cause you're like, if someone walks into my house back when my house was like piles everywhere, in their mind, they're thinking, how do you get through these piles? How do you navigate in this house? One of my friends who's, I always called her normal friend, she would say, I'm too clumsy to be a slob or something. She was like, you know, I just figured you're way more coordinated than me. And I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm super coordinated. I can navigate through all these piles, but it's muscle memory, right? Like it becomes a thing. And I know if that's the feeling in the body that I was feeling when I went to go get the toothpaste, when I opened the stock room and realized I can just walk across the floor. You know, it's like my body was bracing to have to navigate the mess. And that is a big part of slob vision, is you gain that muscle memory of, I have to navigate here, turn sideways here, blah, 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 blah. That is part of what brings about the slob vision, the clutter blindness, is I'm not seeing it anymore because my body is so used to the moving and angling. Well, as I declutter, as I clear spaces, as I have those experiences of, wow, this is awesome. I can just walk across the room. I still sometimes feel that in my own bedroom. Like I'm like, I can just walk across the room, but it's not a conscious thing all the time because my bedroom's clear 98% of the time now. And now when there's something in my way, that is physically jarring to me, right? But the reason I had the slob vision is that my body was so used to navigating around all of these different things. Okay. I think I'm going to stop there. I kind of liked this topic. I hope y'all did. But just remember, again, if you are listening to this because you want to change somebody else, these are not generally conscious thoughts. These are subconscious thoughts. Only through decluttering did I realize this is what was going on. Okay. So I just want to be clear about that. And if this is you and you're like, I don't want to have slob vision anymore, then the answer is decluttering and daily tasks. The 5-minute pickup is huge. You know, it is not about, oh my goodness, my kitchen looks awful. I've got to do my dishes. No, it's this, okay, I know the power of doing my dishes. If I will do them every day, I don't get to the point where I'm completely overwhelmed. So that's why I do them every day. It is not because it drives me crazy to see a messy kitchen until all of a sudden it drives me crazy, right? But I don't see it happening. But it's like, if I will do the dishes every day, it will never get that crazy. All right. Okay. Well, this has been fun. I will talk to y'all next week. Bye.